Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Well, I think you've picked up the clues by now. Today is titled Victory. That's the theme of the day. And victory means something if you've paid a price or you've invested or it cost us something. That's why if you're a basketball fan for March Madness, there will be people that the winning team will win and cut down the nets, and there'll be even people in the crowd, the friends, the family, or even fans that will wear that jersey and they'll weep because victory happened for their team. And you'll get the interview of the individual. They'll say something along the lines of, "We worked so hard for this. Everybody doubted us." Well, if you've tasted defeat, that's what makes victory sweet. In Jesus paid the ultimate price, the cost, and became victorious for me and you. Jesus died for you. The question is, will you live for him? We're going to go to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to look at chapter 27, verses 45 through chapter 28, verse 10. And I want you to read along on the screen or listen to the first section here, Jesus died.
From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and offered him a drink. But the rest said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and looked after him were there watching from a distance.
Jesus was buried after he died. And if you've ever experienced the pain of losing a loved one, and I would dare venture everyone in this building has, you know the grief is uncontrollable. Wailing. My grandma, when she lost her daughter, she used to just fall down in the kitchen cooking and couldn't control the grief. Because depending on how close that relationship is, the gap, the wound, is left with a size because there's loss. And to set the stage, and even on a Sunday morning, it's hard to get the full weight of what took place. Because the effects of sin, the grief of sin, the wailing of sin, the consequences of sin. In every evil act that has ever taken place, the depravity of that, the separation from us and God, is eternal. So the cost and the stakes are something that we can never close that gap. And we see the effects of sin everywhere, even decay in our body, the aging. And that sin leads to death. So how much more would the power of God on the other side of death, if he was raised from the dead? And that's where we'll go today. But let's continue reading Matthew 27. Jesus was buried.
When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph came, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then Pilate ordered that it be released. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean, fine linen, and placed it in his new tomb, which he had cut into rock. He left after rolling a great stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were seated there, facing the tomb.
Why were the women seated at the tomb? Because they loved Jesus. When you love someone, you go visit their burial site. Because their body's laid there, their spirit is gone. But it starts to give us the sense of comfort or connection. And if you notice, it's quite interesting in society. The enemy is always working. But one of the things I believe he does is this. He hides our mortality from us. So you might have someone in hospice. The homes are really hidden even in throughout the city or on the outskirts of the city. It's not something you see on TV every day. You know, where people are buried, it's kind of off to the side. You just kind of, you don't really think about it. When you do think about it, it should call our spirit to attention. Because if this news is true, it is the most important news we will ever consider in our whole entire life. And culturally, I think it's beautiful that we get to gather in the name of Jesus and not be threatened legally to proclaim the name of Jesus. That's beautiful. But if we aren't careful, we'll start to just pick up a cultural experience and say, okay, Jesus, yeah, I get it. I go to church and I dress up. But to remember what he gave, his cost to even have a victory, was sin came through Adam and Eve from eating of the tree, and then Jesus, being the new Adam, became sin, who knew no sin, and hung on the tree. Adam and Eve hid naked and were filled with shame. Jesus hung naked, unashamed. The passion to love me and you. I don't want that to ever get old for me. And I pray that if you've heard this many times, it wouldn't get old for you. But for many, today is your moment where Jesus died publicly. You're willing to give your life to him. Thank God the story doesn't end there, that Jesus is buried. Jesus is victorious. Matthew 28.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So, departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
I remember, you can just go to the victory slide. And Torian, if you can come up, that'd be awesome. Hey, I remember tasting victory as a kid. And some of my earliest moments of tasting victory in the sweetest way, as weird as it sounds, I thought we won the NBA championship in 1992 when we won the Port Huron Gus Macker. Because up till that point, we had been in seven. Our first one, we were in the toilet bowl. And what that means is you lose your first two games, and then they create a separate bracket for all the ones that have lost their first two games. And then you can be a champion of the loser's bracket, and you get a trophy called the toilet bowl. And I finally tasted victory wearing a Ohio State jersey that I got custom made with Jimmy Jackson's number on it, 22, because he was my favorite player. And when we hit the game-winning shot, the family rushed the court, and we had won the championship. But the other side of that is I've tasted massive defeat. And life has a way of humbling you and getting you to the end of yourself where you realize the ultimate battle is not on the outside, it's on the inside. We can see good and evil all around us, but we start to realize the battle of good and evil, right and wrong, love and hate is right in here. And then a question starts to formulate, and I believe all of our minds is this, well, how good is good enough? And then from tasting defeat, whether it's losing a loved one, or tasting defeat of your own mistakes and sin and shame and destruction and pain, you're left empty. And there can almost become this like outrage where we look at God and we say, "God, am I the only one going through this? If you're real, prove yourself." And we mock the one who made us, the only one who can save us. And we're blaming the wrong person in those moments. It's really the devil who is to blame. God comes to bring freedom. God comes to give life and life abundantly. God comes to bring victory. But all of us, we might get to this place in our lives where we just say, I can't. I'm not enough. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. The brokenness of my story and generationally has caused such a gap where there's a wound, a God-sized hole. Will you fill it? There's a song we're gonna watch in a moment. It's called Only One. And there's a contrast in the video of this is where there's three characters. All the characters are competing or practicing in their own particular field. One is a fighter. Another is a basketball player. Another is a dancer. And each character in the story hits this wall where you just feel defeated. And it's symbolic of all of our lives, where you hit the wall and you're like, ah, I'm a sinner. Ah, the effects of death are all around. The evil, the hatred in this world. God, have mercy. And have mercy on me. And then what happens is there's a messenger that brings news, almost just like the disciples in the video, that hands them all a coin. Coin of the cost that Jesus paid. And the coin, intuitively, each character starts to realize, oh, it's not about if I can get victory. It's not about if I can accomplish this. My story is seen. I'm not the only one. And then that payment, which is perfect, priceless, spotless, the Lamb of God for me, becomes personal. And you realize, oh, he paid it all, so I have everything in him if I just let go. And with that confidence, with that new life, only one on one side, you feel like you were the only one who tasted defeat, is met with the other side of it, that you're the only one that God would die for. And there's a new confidence, and you see each character in this song start to step up because they realize, oh, I'm defined by Christ's victory. And in him alone, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so though we're in a big crowd today, this message is for each one of us, because we will stand before a living God and he's gonna ask us, what did you do with my son? And I think his son has fully displayed his value and his victory to each one of us with his death, burial, and resurrection. God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that everyone in this place will consider the news of your son today. That you sent Jesus to die for them. Will we live for him? Only one.
I got fire burning, fire seat, growing deep inside of me. The lie trying to be, hiding weakness and it's cutting deep, it's losing sleep. Seems I'm choking who I'm made to be. Grab a pen, pad, release what's inside of me. We used to freestyle huddle, it hid insecurities, gaining up some muscle, moving on to hard maturity. I sit and think thoughts alone by myself, playing with the cards that I was dealt. Man, I always been small, but I always felt big. Yeah, it's always just ball, man, that's all that we did. Yeah, you know the days when nothing mattered, and now it all matters, but does it? We bucking, I had the wrong master, now we've been captured by grace. I got a new stature, read Paul's chapters, wave. The true type of real life and new heights, and in Christ you only get one.
I feel like the
life.
Only one. I feel like the only one. I feel like the only one. Well, I feel like the only one. 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 Well, I feel like the only one.
I remember growing up, waking up, running home after school, all year geek for what's coming next after June. Thought I deserved it all, hadn't even paid the dues. Looking back, thanking God, made it through. The same love is calling you, and now I'm in it. pushing past the limits. No box, no lid. This is for the kids. We are winning, living life extra innings. They say never despise the day of small beginnings. This is for the only one, a lonely one, thinking you're the only one. It's okay, we're not the only one. Love broke me down and it found me right there. The praise is loud, pain was deep. There's no more nightmares. I'm thinking about new days and new ways, a new taste and new shades, a new page and true change is so sweet, huh? Beauty in the storm when we dance in the rain, and it's truly in the form how we see everything.
I'm loved, I'm chased, I'm broken, but I'm free. Life isn't quite what I thought it would be. Sometimes I have learned that it's a fight to be free, be free. I'm loved, I'm chased, I'm broken, but I'm free. Life isn't quite what I thought it would be. Sometimes I have learned that it's a fight to be free, be free.
I feel like the only one.
Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. Where death is your victory? And to lean into that sentence for a moment. If Jesus didn't conquer death, well, death has victory. It has victory. It accomplishes its mission to defeat, to die, to lose. And that's why when I get the honor to be a part of a celebration of life and a funeral, and to be there in moments of deep loss and communicate the good news of God, the contrast of what the pain people feel is met one day with true resurrection in Jesus Christ. So now, followers of Jesus start to live differently because they realize, wait, he's over death. This is how it says, where death is your victory. This is foreign to my flesh, but my spirit says yes. It says, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that today this would calibrate all of our lives in a way that this would be the victory we want to live for. I'm not knocking a game that's on a court or minimizing the victories that we experience on this planet. Rather, hoping to magnify and maximize the victory of what Jesus has done. You know, for me, the day I was born again was Easter Sunday, 2002. 22 years ago. I've got a birthday, not my born on earth day, but my born again day. And I sat up in the top row of the balcony at church. No one invited me. I stayed up all night at a party and I had sensed God pulling me and calling me home. So I went to the only church that I remembered, which was Mount Hope Church, because we played basketball there. And There was some evangelist books that one of my buddy's mom had given me called The World Beyond that Pastor Dave Williams had wrote. And it was the morning of, and I called and said, "Hey, what time services?" And I said, "I don't know, maybe 9, 11, Easter Sunday, 02. And I remember hearing about this message, and I wept in the back. And I wept not only because I tasted defeat, but for the first time ever in my life, I was deeply grieved, not by my mistakes. True, I was grieved by that. I was grieved by my sin had killed Jesus. I think sometimes we start to think, well, it was someone else's sin that killed Jesus. Well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. Well, if that's our bar, you're right. You're probably not as bad. But friends, the good news is so good because the bad news is that bad. One sin separates us from God. And I wept and wept and wept. And finally, I responded. And it didn't matter who saw, who knew. This little lady asked me if I wanted to go up front. The preacher goes, "Hey, we got one more." And you imagine, they already started praying up at front. And when one more happened, all eyes looked at me. Right? Every head bowed, all eyes closed. "We got one more." Everyone's like, I didn't care. I didn't care. Is it possible? I don't know where you're at. I'm not here to shame you or judge you. But is it possible we care too much about the wrong crowd? If you're here today and you know this is your moment, Jesus died publicly, was mocked, spit on, and hung on a cross with a crown of thorns, and rightfully so with the title above his head, the King of the Jews. For you, you were the only one. And will you take a moment to take inventory, maybe just with God? If you want to close your eyes, you can. You don't have to. But you're here today and you'd say, you know what? It's my moment. Jesus died for me. I want to live for him. And if you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, there's no magical prayer, but there is a call to action. There is a response. Look, today is the day of salvation. Why wait? And if you're here today and you're like, well, I need a new start for the first time, or just a new start, period, in Jesus, because he is the only one that gives new starts. He's the only one that can give new life. And I want to know who I'm praying for. On the count of three, if that's you, will you just raise your hand? 1, 2, 3. I see those hands. I see those hands. It's okay. You can be brave. And because I love you, not because I believe there's power in doing it this way, but I do believe there's something about activating your faith in the same way that I was transformed. You had your hand raised. Will you stand up? And look, again, I don't believe that it's about the standing or even the prayer or even the, but I keep sensing like the world is so unapologetic. What would it look like to be unapologetic for God? And I'm gonna ask you to do one more thing. Just like Pastor Dave asked me, will you come up front and will you be bold and brave enough to come down here that we can pray together as a family? Come on, if you're standing, come on. We got some time. We didn't come here to watch church. We came here to be church. And while they're coming, I don't care if you went to church a million years. Just because you go to McDonald's doesn't mean you're a hamburger. Ask the person on the left or on the right, do you need to say yes to Jesus today? Do you need to say yes to Jesus today? Come on, ask the person on the left and the right. That's why there's no, In this moment, we can lean into it because there's no atheist in war. That's why in the bunkers, you know, it's like, God help me. Each one of us will die and stand before God. And this isn't play. He loved you enough to send his son. I want to take a moment because it took me. It took me 5 minutes and I was the last to respond. So if there's someone, the one, the Jerome in the crowd, that you know it's you and your heart's beating through your chest, will you just get up here? Amen. Well, thank you for coming up here today. And I want to lead us in a prayer that you can repeat with your own words, but you get to make it your own with God. Say, God, and let's join in, let's help him. God, forgive me. I believe in Jesus. Lead me, Jesus. I want to be a disciple for you. Thank you for your victory. Thank you for making me free. There is no more shame, and there is no sin that can have a hold of me. I am brand new in you. Forgiven. Born again. Hallelujah. I pray this in your son Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hey, don't leave for a moment. Is this. Here's what's so powerful. The angels in heaven throw a party when one person repents. Your family was there when I got saved. And that blesses me so much because it was Kevin who said to me, a year later, I watched you walk up front and I didn't know if anyone even knew me there. So thank you because you're one of the only families that I think back to my childhood and always made me feel welcome. What an honor. Well, you may make it back to your seats. We love you guys. As today, Ron and Virginia gave us already permission to pull out our phones. We're going to get to do that again in just a moment. And I want to give them time to make it way back to your seat. But there's some practical things of what all of us can do next. Maybe you weren't part of this crowd at the front, but you know that God's calling you to become a member and serve, or God's calling you to get baptized in a couple weeks, or God's calling you to be discipled further. I mean, all of us, discipleship is normative, but we have some tools to help you grow, some content to help you grow, one of which is called Get Rooted. And will you pull up that slide that says, I said yes to Jesus? So here's what we want you to do. Scan this. If you said yes to Jesus today, so everyone can pull out their phone. We got plenty of time. And maybe you're here and you prayed from the seat and you meant it. You didn't miss out. God's not like that. If you meant it, it's real. So I would scan this, and you can click a button that says you said yes to Jesus. You'll get some content. You can click something that says I want to be baptized, and we'll get you scheduled for that. You can click something that says you want to join a group. Groups are right around the corner. And lastly, you might want to serve on the dream team and thank God for the people that help make this service possible. And for you at home, you might have thought you were watching this moment, but you knew God was calling you. New life can happen wherever you're at. It's found in one person, Jesus, his victory alone. O death, where is your sting? Well, we're going to start to end a little bit with a different tone. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And with that, we got a couple videos, and the worship team's going to come back out, and they're going to lead us in a song that they wrote, Jesus, Our Victory, that we sung earlier. That was the song they wrote. How neat, how cool to have a new song in the house today. Check these videos out.
Roll on.
That's a professional beatboxer with millions of views online who we met at a conference who lives in Grand Rapids. And we were looking over at the conference, like, that dude looks so familiar. I think I've seen him on videos. And sure enough, we had seen him. And he's relocated to Grand Rapids when he got married. And he loves Jesus. And we asked, hey, do you go to travel to churches? He said, absolutely. So he'll be here next week, just share a little bit of why he loves Jesus. And we'll get to, experience his set for, I believe, about 10 minutes. So that'll be next Sunday. And then 2 Sundays from now, we'll have baptism. But will you stand and worship as we remember Jesus, our victory? And this is the type of celebration that is worthy to be lifted up, to be exalted, the freedom. There's no more shame. There's nothing that can hold us down. Jesus is our victory. Let's worship.
Victory. Hallelujah. Jesus our victor.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory.
Yeah, yeah.
There's our outro music. Jesus our victory. You guys repeat. There we go. And hey, if you want to take a next step and you missed the QR code, the Connect Center is right there in the hallway. Online is the Connect link. We would love to connect with God and each other together. Come on. Let's not make this a Sunday. Let's make this a movement. Let's make this 24/7, 365. We're going to be diving in the book of Acts in the next month. As we look at the book of Acts, what is the response of people that believe Jesus is their victory? Oh, it's legendary. Don't miss it. We look forward to seeing you next week, 10 a.m. and 11:30. All races, all faces, and all ages, you belong here. We're going to keep loving this city one life at a time. And we won't stop until he makes all things new. In the building, go get a picture. Get some snacks and have the best day of your lives. Jesus our victory.
Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Jesus our victory. 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 Jesus our victory.
Jesus our victory.
Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory. Jesus our victory.
Thanks for listening to the City Life Lansing podcast. Loving you and loving the city one life at a time. To get connected, learn more, and invest financially, go to citylifelansing.com. You belong here.